Saturday, the 4th of January, 2014. Oh well, if it's not a great way to start the year. Colleen is in Auckland at present, back tomorrow, so I'm working, or attempting to, but not. That's not correct. I am working, but in the usual manner. Yesterday, pacing the house like a caged animal, unable to settle to anything, aware of the waiting studio, but unable to act. In other words, the normal situation. Then today, frantic action, with all kinds of insights and a sense of progress, again, the normal situation. The work in question is Dirge, and it has already answered a lot of previously rather difficult questions. After Songs My Mother Taught Me, which uses so much extant material, how am I going to proceed with stuff that's new? Answer: use my own voice as a primary source, not as spoken language, but as vocal material. My earlier use of sung phrases in the fourth transcription has allowed me to proceed down that particular path. Now I feel a huge freedom to put in place a work that's absolutely me. It will be the worst kind of kitsch or sublime. The way the vocalising in this work has evolved is just so natural, but also stretched out. I'm really excited about this one. It seems to be the way forward. Friday, the 10th of January, 2014. Well, a few days since the last entry, and the usual ups and downs, but things have progressed. I'm only using voice material, not even the harps, apart from one recording of the sky rails from way back, functioning as a ground upon which the sonorities might settle, a bit like an initial wash on a canvas. Actually, this work is all about sonority, and as such feels very akin to painting, especially the wielding of colour and texture. Note, the vocal materials, especially the theremin-like transforms, seem to be acting as the narrative-providing stuff, holding the work together. Also, a lot of pitch. Jack will be pleased. Monday, the 20th of January, 2014. Just back from a mad weekend at Takamatua with T&D. Lots of crazy dancing, sailing and other water sports. To return to news from Chris that Jack has a tumour on his spine. Have been in touch and his attitude is optimistic, so I guess we wait and see. Regarding the work, have begun to use the sound of the Everflow respirator, the device Doreen used to help her breathe in the last few months. It sounds like a small generator with periodic artificial inhalations and exhalations. It's a useful foil for the already generated vocal material, which is soft, organic and hymn-like. Everflow. Is that a good title? With the subtitle of A Dirge for Our Dead Mothers. Notice I've already stepped past my recent objective, namely only to use my voice. This might seem to be a backward step, but in fact I think it opens up the work to a much fuller realisation and presents a more complex structural dilemma. Thursday, the 23rd of January, 2014. Struggling again, but that's just another way of describing the process. Interesting how often I randomly pick up a book from my shelves and it'll contain relevant material. This morning it was a book on Ingmar Bergman by Marc Gervais, the final paragraphs being an attempt to define the value of art and its connection to Bergman's work. The image of refraction, one I've used before, is so apt in the art-making process. There's never a direct cause and effect connection, never any sense that one has made extant an already identified objective, always the experience of the materials resisting the attempt and thus producing a distortion of the original image. No matter how well you know your craft, no matter how many times you've employed a particular algorithm, the result presents you with as much surprise as satisfaction. Until finally, this is the result you become accustomed to. It's like pushing down on a bucket of unidentified material, resulting in leakage in unpredictable directions of stuff that you can't fathom until it appears before your eyes. All you do is push, apply pressure, and something comes out. Controlling such a context is like driving a car with sloppy steering. You constantly overcorrect, always feeling concern about whether you're going to succeed in going in the direction you've decided to take. More often than not, when you arrive at some point, you know that the car's driven you, not the other way around. What fun! Friday the 24th of January 2014. Just viewed Bergman's Cries and Whispers 1972. I haven't watched it in many years. It is stunning. The stillness allows the shocking episodes, death and mutilation, to carry such raw power. I found them almost unwatchable. They made me physically wince and cry out. Of course, the cinematography is sumptuous, but nothing would work without the quality of the acting. It's so convincing that one loses all sense of the fiction, even when it involves a corpse that refuses to remain dead. In the context of the latest piece, Dirge, I must allow more silence and also near silence. This should encourage the more complex sections to have more impact. Nearly inaudible sounds, the near array, draw the listener into intimacy, which is then transgressed by maximum spectrum and amplitude. But most of all, the quality of the acting in the Bergman equates with the essential numinosity of the sound world. Every sound should be there because it must be there. If this happens, then each individual sound will be capable of carrying everything on its own. The fading to and from red in the movie, a device that allows elliptical narrative, could well be imitated in the sound work by closing down the texture in a variety of ways, both in amplitude and in spectrum. This also encourages the listener to hear the narrative as a series of hints or evocations, rather than a continuous story. Note, in very stretched out files, there always needs to be enough new data to avoid redundancy, some sense that the sound is going somewhere. The more economical the file, the more this needs to be so. In fact, the implied sentient quality of the sound is most important here. Thank you. Monday the 27th of January 2014. Well, Dirge is finished. So quick. I don't know whether to be pleased or alarmed. But it fell into place in a good way, so I just have to accept the result, out of tune, vocalising and all. Oh, one thing though. I was about to bounce various sections when I realised I had to adjust the bell files. These are repeated bell events that occur a number of times throughout the work. They were all the identical repeated file, and at first I'd copied the first event of two iterations and pasted these in subsequent spots. Then I made a number of realisations. One, this is a real bell. It comes from a single source overhead and remains in some way separated from the rest of the work. Therefore, it does not change its acoustic environment by fading out, becoming reverberant, or altering its spatial position. Two, it's being tolled by some phantom hand, and therefore each iteration should reflect the fallibility of a genuine executant. So I had to treat the amplitude and durational distance between each bell event so that every one sounded unique. Three, the work fades to nothing at the end, with the bells continuing to chime. There was a temptation to make the bells fade also, giving the sense of fading out with the rest of the sonic materials. But then my understanding of the role of the bell in the work as being somehow another separate reality showed me that this was inconsistent, and so the bells remain in their original space-time, even to the point of one final iteration after the work has ostensibly finished. The point I'm making, that gave me such a sense of satisfaction, was the above procedure made me realise that I really did know what I was doing. The decision confirmed a rational premise, one that I feel has been active throughout the work. So often, this does not occur consistently, and if it doesn't, then the work is permanently flawed. A mistake has been made, and even one of these ruins the outcome. Tuesday the 28th of January 2014. Tidying up after finishing Dirge. Stereo bounce for files, MP3 for website, and still to record the workbook notes to make the usual, in this case very brief, doco. But still struck by how much the innate procedure has taken over things. I can't believe that from first file to last, this work has taken less than a month. Especially when I consider the travail associated with some of the other pieces. Visible Voices, for example, took nearly 2 years. I've also grown used to the fact that works take a relatively long time to achieve, and this keeps me occupied for long periods, gives me something to do. The speed of realisation of this one makes me panic a little on this front. Also, various accusations from family about the legitimacy of my obsession with work have somehow greater impact. There have always been these pressures from various quarters, having the effect of amplifying my already large quotient of self-doubt. Thank heavens the one person who's always been steady in this regard is Colleen. I think if she was not as accepting and supportive of this aspect of my personality, I would be even more vulnerable. But I can only be who I am. It's not tenable for me to attempt any other course, no matter how much some people might desire it. I have to know who I am, be that person, and accept any consequences that might ensue.